Everything is mind, everything is consciousness. Hello, thank you for joining me here once again. I am Marie Swaru. Living in physicality, incarnated into, or inside a biological body, it is very easy to fall into a deterministic way of thinking where the only things that exist are matter and energy. And as Earth science dictates, they are basically two different states of the same thing. The experience of living in a material world is very strong and compelling, so it is very easy to think only in terms of hard matter and the laws of nature and of physics that govern it, and nothing else. And this way of thinking will bring a natural consequence. That the mind and all its thoughts and ideas are the results of electrical and chemical processes inside a material brain made of cells called neurons. This brings the materialistic assumption that all we are is the result of a complicated dance of neurotransmitters and minute bits of energy flowing through the network of neurons that form our thoughts, personality, and everything we are as they go making new connections among themselves. And once anyone falls into taking for granted that is all they are, and even ends up accepting it as an immutable fact, a law even, it is very difficult for them to change their vision of the world and of how it works. And understandably so, as science on Earth pushes materialism and all its explanations so strongly, people naturally fall into thinking that who are them to question science in favor of intangible explanations, most probably based on wishful thinking. As many scientists on Earth say, all spiritual and metaphysical ideas that include life after death, reincarnation, entities, ghosts, spirits, and so on, are just the result of fantasy and the human inability to face their own destruction at death. This transforming all spiritual concepts and knowledge into nothing more but a coping mechanism to comfort a dying ego. In defense of spirituality, and for the sake of an argument, let's suppose that this materialistic worldview is the correct one, and that all of us who believe in the existence of the spirit world and of ethereal planes of existence are all delusional and falling into that ego-conserving wishful thinking. But even if we are just the result of chemical and electric impulses inside our brains, our experience is real from our point of view, and even if we do face total destruction, the annihilation of our ego and of all we are at death, as long as we are alive, spirituality does help us cope with death, and it also makes us feel a lot more than just a random and unimportant dust particle. So even in that case, I would still argue that having a spiritual approach to life is more than worthwhile. It gives us strength and makes our lives worth living. But materialism as a worldview is not the only way our consciousness and everything that exists can be explained. There is also the spiritual approach to explaining everything. And as can be expected, there are many variants to this, and all I can do is share the one of my group, interpreted and explained by me to the best of my understanding. This approach is almost the complete reverse of the materialistic one imposed onto the people so strongly on Earth. In the understanding of the Taygetan culture, and of countless other advanced civilizations, the only thing that exists is pure consciousness, existing outside space and time itself, in a state that is impossible to define by our best efforts, and where distances, material objects, all forms of energy and all the time frames that help define them are just the products of its imagination and of its thought processes. All material objects, worlds, and energy forms and patterns are just illusions that are formed when a subject holds strong attachments to its own ideas. In this way of viewing existence, and the existence of everything, the only thing that is real and that is manifesting it all is the observer who is consciousness, and as everything is emanating from that super-observer, it is responsible for shaping and forming reality itself. And we are all that super-observer, as we are ultimately one single universal consciousness playing to be many points of attention for the sake of its own expansion. Each one of us is that consciousness I will be referring to in the following words. Have this in mind. Observing this manifestation process closely and as an attempt to explain it with science, not from Earth, we have the theory of manifestation. In a few words, it says that consciousness in a relaxed state, for example, something like being in deep meditation with no thoughts and just being, creates the ether in a calm state, as potential energy, and that ether is best described as a fluid, and it is the primordial, or first thing to be manifested. When consciousness is thinking, it will create waves in that ether, much as when a stone is thrown into a pond, and the way those waves dissipate in the medium that is the ethers, is a frequency, as in the sequence the fluid is receiving a stimulus from the emitter. And the distance between each one of that stimuli is time, and it is what creates a frequency in the ether, and when that frequency is consistent and complex it will form a harmonic that will be mathematically precise. And it is this harmonics of a frequency that will create a standing wave, that is a wave that does not collapse and remains high and energized as long as the harmonics of the frequency that are creating it remain there. As I described in detail in my video, consciousness, oneness, gravity, and the numerical universe. So in short, everything that consciousness is thinking becomes real, or everything that consciousness thinks about is reality. It manifests everything and everything is coming out of pure consciousness. And everything that exists, ideas, matter or energy, are just thoughts in the mind of those who are conscious and aware that they are. And if manifesting things and situations takes time in a place like Earth, and in all other similar places as well, it is because there is a complicated consciousness dynamic going on there, where our immediate wishes and desires are dampened by a larger collective, by the soup of consciousness we are immersed in, the collective unconscious. That is exactly why enlightened people who are free thinkers and who take responsibility for their thoughts and actions and that do not follow the norm, become power nodes in the matrix they are in, as they hold a very strong manifestation power that overrides and outperforms the very collective unconscious they are in, and to the point where they influence it more than what it influences them. The more congruent you are with your thoughts and values, and the stronger you are while you defend them from the opposing norm, and the clearer you are with what you want, the faster and stronger you will manifest anything. That is the power with being different. Another reason why it looks like we cannot manifest our wishes immediately is that we do not manifest from the top of our heads, but from our deep unconscious. In other words, we manifest who we are, not what we want. This is very important. Explaining this from a more down-to-earth and practical point of view, you cannot view any object without having a set of ideas and interpretations in your mind to assign a value and a description of what any object means to you. A chair is a place to sit on for a human, a bed for a cat, food for a termite and a mountain for an ant, as I've said before. But as Tegeton and other stellar sciences accept, all objects hold a form of consciousness of their own, and not only depend on a larger or more complex, if not more advanced form of conscious awareness to manifest them from the ethers. From one point of view, a chair is just a lump of energy, if no one is aware of its existence, and this would be valid from the point of view of an observer such as ourselves. Yet that chair, or any other object, is also being manifested by not only other creatures such as those ants or termites but by the primordial energy dynamic coming from itself, as each one of the complicated structures that form it also hold a form of consciousness, although a very simple one. An example of this would be crystals and minerals, which are excellent at holding a frequency in their molecular matrix, and many cultures regard them as conscious and aware creatures that must be respected and honored as such. For any conscious creature to give a value to anything that exists, to be able to describe it and make any sense of it at all, it must contrast the sensory information it is receiving from the object with its previous experiences using its memory, and using it to associate the sensory information it is getting from the object to an idea it previously holds. And that idea associated with the object will determine the value and the usefulness it will have for the conscious creature that is observing it. Nothing can exist without a mind giving it shape and value. Even the mere idea of imagining something existing without an observer is already giving a value, and the concept is also coming from the observer with a consciousness that is having such a thought. Our thoughts, wishes and desires are the potential choices that we may or may not follow, and those add up to form who we are. You may want something badly, but it does not manifest immediately because you still must process internally how badly you want it, and if you indeed want it at all. When you insist enough and you are focused and sure about it, then you take action, and then it starts to come into existence in your life, and it manifests. We are the result of where our attention goes, and we are the result of our choices. And we manifest our world and our reality from who we are. Beware of what you want, of what information you consume, and of whom you associate with, because that is what you will become. Thank you for watching my video, I appreciate it a lot. Take care and be wise. With much love. Your friend, Marie Soirou.